speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Monday, July 29th, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. We've had another mass shooting, this one in California at a garlic festival. This was a gun-free zone. They had security at the entrance, and yet the individual or individuals are now looking. One person was killed. Many witnesses said there was a second person that was aiding in some way. That individual is still at large. They went through a fence and began shooting people. They've killed at least three people, another 15 injured yesterday. And immediately we saw the reactions from the Democrats calling for more gun control. Kamala Harris, the shooter was still at large. As soon as she heard there was a shooting, not knowing the extent of it or anything about it, calling for more gun control. We had in the final hours of the Gilroy Garlic Festival Sunday evening, last night, as the Sacramento Bee and Associated Press, following the AP style sheet, they said a gunman with an assault rifle. Yes, that's what you must call it, according to the Associated Press and their speech rules. A gunman with an assault rifle opened fire on the crowd, killing at least three people, injuring 15 others. The shooter was also shot and killed minutes after the attack began, said the police chief in Gilroy. They're looking, they said, for a man in camouflage with a, quote, long-barreled rifle. Now, that's the way the police describe it because they do not follow necessarily the AP style sheet. They call it an assault rifle. They say it's a long-barreled rifle. The shooter used some type of tool to cut through the fence and to avoid metal detectors and other security. Again, the police say a manhunt is underway for a second person suspected to have ties to the attack. Description was not released. We believe, based on the witness statements, that there is a second individual involved in some way. We just don't know why or how. And as one individual who was with a band that was just beginning their encore said, he told the Associated Press, again, these are people writing it, that's why they use the term assault rifle all the time, instead of something more specific. They saw a man wearing a green shirt, grayish handkerchief around his neck, firing in the concession area. Somebody shouted out, "Why are you doing this?" And he said, "Because I'm really angry." Do you need a reason? Right? How many times have we seen this last week gangs of people attacking unarmed individuals? And not necessarily with guns or knives. Just a gang of youths attacking somebody, blindsiding them, surrounding them, kicking them, punching them, beating them severely. This has happened in Washington, D.C. last week outside one of the premier hotels, a place that is constantly used by Washington's elite. It was the hotel where Ronald Reagan was shot. It's where the White House Correspondents' Dinner is always held, and on and on. This guy's just walking along. All of a sudden, he's surrounded, beaten severely. This happened in California to some people on their lawn. And yet in Tulsa, Oklahoma, what the media will not tell you, and we're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk about what is really going on in California, the true agenda with this, when we come back. But what they will not tell you is what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You had, again, three youths that are going around neighborhood robbing people, intimidating them. No indication that they had even guns or knives, either one of those. And yet they were robbing people of cash, credit cards, phones, that type of thing. So some people called the police. Finally, they got to a guy who was on his front lawn, and he was carrying a concealed weapon. He pulled the gun out. That stopped the attack. Hey, that's the difference. That's the difference. When you're surrounded by a group of people, and what does it tell us about our society that we're having now massive attacks, at least for this last week, of 3 to 12 individuals, young kids, teaming up and coming after people, not with any weapons, but just with their fists, beating them, robbing them, beating them brutally. What does that tell us about our society? Is the problem a gun? Is the problem a knife? No, I think the problem is our society, and you better be able to defend yourself. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, tell telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Monday, July 29th, year of our Lord 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. Again, we had another shooting tragedy. I think the salient point here is the fact that this happened yet again in a gun-free, defenseless killing zone. Not only were guns prohibited, but also slingshots, fireworks, pocket knives, weapons of any kind at this festival. And we see this happening over and over again, as we just saw recently in Virginia Beach, where the city employees operated in a gun-free zone, a defenseless zone. Again, what happened at the Garlic Festival in Gilroy, California, these individuals circumvented security. Imagine that. What a surprise. I mean, you've got these rules, and these guys who are angry and want to kill people don't follow the rules? How could that possibly be? They cut through a fence. One person's killed. Another one is still being searched for. Killed three people. Wounded 15 is the current count that I see. But again, this is an area where any weapon of any kind is prohibited. Nevertheless, Kamala Harris did not waste any time pushing gun control. Prostitute that she is. Prostitute that she is. I mean, think about this. This woman who for years locked up people for simple possession of marijuana, and then after the tables turned and that particular prohibition was removed, she bragged, lying, quite frankly, comes up with some concocted story to brag about how she was hip and she was a user all those years. People got upset with her because she said, oh, yeah, I used to listen to such and such a band while I smoked pot in college. And it's like, well, that time frame doesn't match. That band wasn't around when you were in college. Nevertheless, nobody called her that I'm aware of, except for me. Nobody called her on the hypocrisy of the fact that she locked people up for doing what she now brags that she did and got away with. And so now she wants another kind of prohibition, since that one didn't work. Got a lot of people locked up for doing nothing that harmed anybody. At the most, you could say they were harming themselves, but not nearly as much as if they drank alcohol, for example. But she locked them up. She didn't have a problem with that. And now she wants to take away your guns, and she wants to leave you defenseless. And so she was talking about our gun violence epidemic, she said, before the details of the shooting were even done. Before President Trump even tweeted out, they are still looking for him. Be careful, be safe, and so forth. No, she's out there immediately. Our country has a gun violence epidemic that we cannot tolerate. Simply horrific. Got to stop it. And as Breitbart points out, California has every gun control measure that the Democrats have ever pushed. They have confiscatory red flag laws. They have an assault weapons ban, whatever that is. Again, I guess we'd have to ask the Associated Press. They continue to say, even though the police were more specific about it being a long rifle, it was an assault rifle. Yeah, of course, it's an assault rifle. By definition, I guess, if you are shooting at people, that is an assault rifle to that degree. But that's not how they're using it. Anyway, they have an assault weapons ban. They have universal background checks. They have a 10-day waiting period for gun purchases. They have a requirement to secure a gun safety certificate from the state before buying a gun. They have a good cause, quote-unquote, requirement for a concealed carry permit issuance. They got to have a good cause before they'll let you have the privilege of carrying a gun. Forget about it being a right to defend yourself. They have a requirement that ammunition purchases can only be purchased from in-state vendors who have also been approved to sell ammunition. And a requirement that all ammunition purchasers undergo a background check at the point of sale. And yet all of these things, plus security, plus a fenced-in area, none of those were sufficient to protect the people there. How could that be? See, the problem is not the gun. The problem is not the pocket knife. The problem is not the fireworks or anything. The problem is the people. Take a look at what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Homeowner pulls a gun on teens, is the headline, who attempt to rob him as he waters his lawn, before one of the suspects, 15, is shot by another neighbor while fleeing through their backyard. This is a group of teenagers who are terrorizing homeowners in Tulsa, going through the suburbs, robbing people on their lawns. These three suspects had pulled off a slew of robberies, reports Daily Mail. I don't know how many that was, until they picked on the wrong man. As they approached him on his lawn, demanding his money, he pulled out his own pistol, and the two of the three fled the scene. They were driving away when police gave chase, but they crashed shortly after. A 20-year-old and a 17-year-old were arrested at the scene of the crash. A 15-year-old got away. And then as he was running through a neighbor's backyard, the neighbor shot him. The boy was not seriously hurt, and the neighbor, whose name is Cook, has been arrested on a complaint of shooting with intent to kill. They arrested the homeowner who defended himself. And yes, I say defended himself because Zachariah Cook, who was the one who did the shooting, a second neighbor who was armed, claimed the boy was running at him when he shot him. He's been arrested on a complaint of shooting with intent to kill, but police said there is a chance that the homeowner used justified force, and the judge may decide to drop the charge. And again, there is no evidence that these kids, 15, 17, and 20 years old, no evidence that they had any weapons. And so is this excessive force because they didn't have weapons? Well, remember what happened last week, right, in Washington, D.C., or this particular situation in California. Again, somebody in their own driveway, on their own property, at their home. They asked women who were fighting outside to leave, and then they turned on the couple. And out of nowhere, a gang circled them and started beating both the husband and the wife. The husband was able to get away, get into the house, and call 911. And then before they left, they vandalized the driveway. You can see blood stains all over the place, vandalized the driveway, vandalized the car. The woman said it happened all in 30 seconds. It's hard to believe, but it's because it seemed like 5 minutes. They said there were 4 to 5 male and female suspects. The police said that they are known in the area that were involved in the assault. Add that to, now that was on Thursday. Last Wednesday, remember, we had the reports of the beating in the District of Columbia at the Washington Hilton. Again, a very high-end hotel. The place where Reagan was shot. Now, maybe you should stay away from there. But they have the White House press conference dinner every year there. They have a lot of big meetings there. It's a very nice hotel. No hotel security can be seen as these people, a gang of over a dozen youths, a brutal, unprovoked attack, circle a couple of individuals. A group of young males and females appear to have laid a trap for the two men coming at him from the front and rear as they approach the hotel entrance. The victim is punched by a tall, slender man who comes at him from the front, setting off a mob attack that quickly puts the victim on the ground while his friend ducks into the hotel. More attackers approach. They take turns punching, kicking the man, with some stomping on his head. The friend comes back out, intervenes, but is punched in the face and retreats. The final attacker walks up, spits on the man as he is sprawled on the ground. He suffered head injuries, a left eye socket injury. The witness suffered a swollen left eye. They're treated at a local hospital. All this is happening. So Washington, D.C., California, people attacked, Tulsa, Oklahoma, people robbed and attacked by gangs of youth in their homes at a high-end hotel. What is going on in our society? Well, you know what's going on in our society. You have a weaponization in our education system, the hatred, the racism that is being taught. Come after these people because, you know, they're just white. They're scum. You're entitled. Go ahead. Take your own reparations. You don't have to wait for Kamala Harris or Cory Booker or Pete Buttigieg or Elizabeth Warren to steal the money for you. Just take it yourself. Life is cheap, isn't it? We kill children after they're born. And you better be able to protect yourself and your family. And you better not let these Democrats take that away from you. We'll be right back. Nowhere to run to, baby. Nowhere to hide. Welcome back. There's one more case of a gang of teens beating up a defenseless person. And that was a mentally disabled young girl. And a gang of teens ganging up on her and beating her. A witness who was already recording the teens walking then immediately started laughing as the other girls, as many as five at one point, joined the unprovoked attack. We're not going to play it for you. It's disgusting. But they would just take turns laughing about it, running over, taking a hit, then walking away, you know, preening at the camera like they had just accomplished something, sucker punching a defenseless young girl who was mentally disabled. Race doesn't appear to be an issue, a factor in this particular one, as far as I could tell. But we have to ask ourselves, what kind of monsters are our institutional schools turning out? Totally devoid of any morality, totally devoid of any compassion, of any moral or legal standards or anything, absolutely fearless of any kind of punishment. And in this environment, people like Kamala Harris want to disarm you. They beating her, said one of the teens while chuckling. Graphic footage has been viewed by more than 5 million times in just a day. One of her friends later posted the footage in hopes of getting justice for the girl. She said she didn't deserve any of this. No, none of these people that we're talking about deserved any of this. The people at the Garlic Festival didn't deserve it. The individuals at the DC Hotel didn't deserve it. The people who were robbed on their lawns didn't deserve it. The people who were beaten in their driveway, again, by gangs of people. The two people who came in and shot people up, that was with a firearm. So we need to take away our firearms. And yet the only case where these people were stopped was with the individuals who had firearms on their own property to defend themselves. And now even one of them has been arrested in Oklahoma for defending himself. Our government needs to get back to its fundamental principles. And we've got to do this at the local level. The fundamental idea of America was that we have certain inalienable rights that we get from God. And part of that is to be able to defend our lives and other people's lives. That is a given. And government can either help us with that, or it can try to take that away from us. And if it tries to take that away from us, then it is time for us to alter or to abolish that federal imposition into our lives. And I'm going to tell you that it's far worse than just the gun control issue. It's the education control issue that is breeding monstrous people in our society. And that needs to be taken away from the government. We need to prohibit the federal government from raising our children instead of constantly demanding that the federal government do more to raise our children. Oh, we want to put them with you so that you can start before they even get to kindergarten. We want free daycare for our children. Well, where's that going to come from, right? We'll talk about that later, where you're going to find all that money for that. Meanwhile, in Arizona, you got a Republican governor who, since the Parkland shooting, has been chomping at the bit so that he can get some more gun control legislation in, like they've got in California. I read for you at the top of the hour, all of the different gun control measures that have been passed in California, and you still had this shooting there at the Garlic Festival. It isn't going to stop it. The only thing that stops this kind of violence is to have a well-armed, law-abiding population, because you're always going to have lawless people, and those lawless people, you do not want to have them possess a monopoly of force. Just like you don't want the government to have a monopoly of force, because as we've seen over and over again, the government can get very dangerous as well. So you don't want criminals and governments to have a monopoly on guns. That's why we have the Second Amendment, to prohibit them from taking away our God-given rights. But again, we have in Arizona, as Breitbart points out, we have the Republican governor, Doug Ducey, has now hired for public relations to push his red flag gun laws there, has now hired a never-Trumper, David French, to do PR for him. And the Republican governor there has said, I think the STOP plan, and that's what he calls the, quote, severe threat order of protection. In other words, it's just a red flag gun law to take away. That's another one of these laws to take away your due process. We've had that in so many different ways. It began with the IRS. No, you don't have any presumption of innocence. We just say that you owe us that money. Now you prove you're innocent, right? Or you have the police through the drug war. Say, well, I assume that, I found this marijuana butt in this car. So I'm going to assume that this car somehow is guilty of being associated with marijuana. So I'm going to take it. I don't have to say that anybody in the car had anything to do with it. So I don't have to prove anything. I'm not going to charge them with a crime. I'm going to charge the car. And so there's no charge. There's no due process. Nobody is found guilty because nobody's even charged, but they take the car. We see the same thing with children. Oh, yes, American children. That's why the Democrats don't care. They don't care when American children are taken in massive numbers and have been for years for a multi-billion dollar industry across this nation called CPS. The children can now be taken, just like your car, without any due process. You don't know what the charges are. You don't get a chance to confront the CPS people who are accusing you, or maybe your neighbor who's got a grudge and calls CPS on you. You don't know what the charges are. There is no presumption of innocence. They just take the children. In only 15% of the cases, is there even an allegation of violence or sexual assault against the children? And in most of those cases, if it goes to trial, that is disproven. But they don't bother with that. And now they want to go with the red flag gun laws so that they can take your gun. Anybody who doesn't like you can come after you to take your gun. And they take it without due process. And this is being pushed by Republicans. And it was pushed in a major way by President Trump, who said, we've got to take the guns, we'll do the due process later. Well, President Trump, due process isn't being done. It isn't being done when our children are stolen from Americans. I'm not talking about the border. Again, the only thing that the Democrats care about are foreign citizens. They don't care about American families. Foreign citizens get superior welfare benefits. They get superior educational benefits. They have superior protection. They have Democrats who pretend to weep for them, even at empty fences like AOC. But nobody cries for the Americans, most of them poor, most of them black, who have their children taken from them because they're just filthy Americans. Nobody cares about Americans. They're a race on its way out, if you wish. A nation, a culture. And so, we look at this. Has it helped in Illinois to have a red flag? No, they've had a mass shooting there. California? No, they've had multiple now. Florida? No. Red flag gun laws don't do anything except another aspect where they've taken away our rights and taken away our due process. This is the America. This is the America that we are becoming. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Reverse engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is The David Knight Show.
Trying to make some sense of it all. But I can see it makes no sense at all. Is it cool to go to sleep on the floor? Cause I don't think that I can take anymore.
Welcome back. You know, as we look at these gangs of youth attacking people anywhere they want, and again, it's part of what they have been trained for. And it's not just raising totally immoral kids, totally devoid of any system of morality. No fear of God, no fear of government. You see it in New York as the police officers are being attacked. That's the way they're being bred. But they're also being bred with a specific hatred. I think one example of this is found in this Daily Caller article. $12,000 a day, that's how much some white liberals are getting paid to push white privilege. They give the example of Robin DiAngelo, a white woman who is making the rounds, making $10,000 to $15,000 a day, pushing hatred of white people. And she is white, of course. She's known for coining the term white fragility. And she charged the University of Kentucky $12,000 for one two-hour session. That's $6,000 an hour. You also got another white liberal author, Tim Wise, getting $10,000 from the University of Michigan. D'Angelo charged the university, who is also, again, a white woman, charged the University of Kentucky $12,000 an hour, $12,000, not counting travel expenses, housing accommodations, meals, for her two-hour racial justice keynote and breakout session. And then with emails that they got, by the way, don't phone me. If you phone me about this, any phone calls that are deemed necessary will be charged at a rate of $320 per hour, in addition to the $12,000 speaking fee. Yes, hatred and bullying and racism pays very, very handsomely, doesn't it? These are the education. Notice that it's always at universities where they're paying these big bucks to people, to radicalize people. D'Angelo's fee was more than a quarter of the annual median income for black families. Think about that. Think about that. The average median family income for black families, that means that half of the black families make more than $40,000, half of them make less than $40,000. It's not an average. Averages are easily distorted by some high income earner. So what they did was they took the number of families and, you know, this is half of them make more than this and half of them make less than $40,000. She makes $12,000 to lecture people on white privilege, to build racial hatred. Isn't that amazing? It kind of feeds into what President Trump was talking about with Baltimore. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But again, tickets for this, for a half-day workshop that she led in San Francisco earlier this month, started at $130 for adults and $65 for kids. These are a lot of very rich white liberals who are paying to see this, and people who are in the academic community who are paying for this. This is a poison that is going to be setting our society on fire. That kind of hatred, that kind of division along the lines of skin color or class is precisely the path to power that the Democrats want, and it is the path to destruction for this country. Her fee typically runs, as I said, between $10,000 and $15,000. And in Washington, Everett, Washington, the city government there promoted the conference on its website. And, you know, it's easy for them to find people who are willing to pay $65 to $130 to go hear that hatred. Meanwhile, Elizabeth Warren has now been caught in kind of a Bernie Sanders wage scandal. All these Democrats say, well, you got to have a $15 an hour mandated minimum wage, maybe 20, says Rashida Tlaib. And then Bernie doesn't pay his people that. And then when faced with that economic reality, he said, all right, we'll cut the hours here. That's basic economic reality. When you raise minimum wage, you cut the amount of hours worked. So you cut people's jobs, or you cut the number of hours that they work or whatever. They don't make any more money, but what it does is it creates inflation. And then you have somebody like Rashida Tlaib saying, look at how expensive everything's gotten. We now got to go up to $20 an hour. Predictable. When will these people take a basic economics class? And I'm not talking about Keynesian economics, that nonsense. I'm not talking about the modern monetary theory, the magic money theory, MMT. No, not talking about any of that. Now Elizabeth Warren and her campaign are under fire for allegedly misleading applicants as part of their volunteer fellowship program. And this is coming out of the Daily Beast. The Daily Beast is attacking her for this. Two Warren supporters who applied to the program described the process as, quote, deceptive and exploitative. They said they were pushed toward unpaid positions. So they answer this, and they want to get a job. They like Elizabeth Warren. They want to go there. But it's like, well, you know, we have these paid positions, but that's not really what you want. You want the unpaid positions. You know, we can get actually some college credit for this. And maybe, you know, considering the cost of college credits after it's been ridiculously inflated by government subsidies, maybe that would pay more than if they actually got cash. They said they were misled over the availability of financial assistance. They were asked to sign highly restrictive non-disclosure agreements that worker advocacy groups concede are irregular. Warren's campaign offers paid internships, but unlike many others, the Elizabeth Warren campaign also offers volunteer fellowships and volunteer fellowships for academic credit. What was sold to me was very different from what it was actually. And they said their application kind of took advantage of people who were really eager to get experience. It's kind of interesting because, you know, Elizabeth Warren's campaign took in the most recent quarter, $19 million. So here she is. She's running a business that has gross receipts of about $80 million a year, but she wants people to work for her for free. Oh, this takes Dire Straits Money for Nothing up to another level, right? Get your money for nothing and your interns for free. That's what the Elizabeth Warren campaign, the Bernie Sanders campaign is about. And of course, it's also about hypocrisy. Then you have Kamala Harris, again, wants to invest $74.5 billion in black colleges and minority businesses. This is basically just racist welfare, folks. But it's her method of trying to get reparations in. Say it's... I guess you do this or the people come up to you on your front lawn to rob you right there. But she'll do it wholesale. She'll do it in a big way. Looking at some other Democrats, we've got de Blasio's staff are telling the New York Post that they think his campaign is a joke. One longtime aide told the New York Post it's a joke. I think he knows he can't win. It's just a lot of eye rolling. He's doing it because he's got a big ego, needs to prove something. I don't think he's going to go quietly away and become an adjunct professor at Hunter. We'll see him performing again this week. We will be covering the debates live. And then finally, we're going to take a look at what Alex Jones said about whether or not President Trump is committing suicide in the next segment if he doesn't get control of the out-of-control attacks on our free speech. We're also going to take a look at what Tulsi Gabbard has done in terms of filing a lawsuit against Google. But just this one last bit of news here. A Tesla owner who is running low on electricity. And again, you know, because he's got an electric vehicle, he's got special privileges because he's better than you are. All you people out there driving those gasoline and diesel cars, you should be taxed to subsidize his electric vehicle. And that sense of entitlement was so much that he actually, when he was running low on power, he parked on a total stranger's lawn, ran an extension cord up to his house, and charged his car for 12 hours. Didn't pay the guy at all. But of course, he's entitled. Wait till the homeowner finds out how much he's actually paid in subsidies to both Elon Musk and this Tesla owner. It's not just the electricity. But of course, this guy is entitled. He's better than you are. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. I want to play for you a little bit of what Alex Jones said. Why is President Trump committing suicide? Of course, it was linked by Matt Drudge, and I want you to hear a little bit of that. But I want to begin first by talking about this bill that is being pushed by Adam Schiff. Now, let me just say that this isn't just about political suicide. This isn't just about one election or one person or one president. The individual liberties of Americans are far bigger than that. And no matter what happens with this next election, if President Trump wins, but we lose our free speech and our free press, if we have the internet taken over and controlled by a few corporations working in tandem with the Pentagon and with DARPA, we have lost. We have lost this country. We have lost our future. This is an existential issue. Just like the border is, yes, we are now borderless. Perhaps there has been a turn, as it appears that some of our masters at the Supreme Court have graciously consented to allow the president to use a little bit of the military to protect the border, and Nancy Pelosi is furious about that. But we have been, since President Trump took office, more borderless than ever. No wall has been built at all. We've had some painting of the existing wall. We've had some observation of the borderless border by the military, but nothing has been done up to this point. We're also now officially budgetless. Both President Trump and the establishment, Republicans and Democrats, have all agreed that we do not need a budget, at least not for the next 2 years. We now have since we've got an election coming up, we want everybody to feel good. And so now we are doing credit card retail therapy with the federal government. Just spend and don't worry about the consequences. We'll worry about that 2 years or more down the road. And then apparently we're going to allow billionaires to bully everyone when it comes to free speech, the free press, manipulate elections, and essentially monopolize the internet. But what President Trump needs to understand is that these people who are working to control our speech are the very people who tried to take him out of office. It's the intelligence community, the corrupt CIA, the corrupt NSA, the corrupt FBI and Department of Justice that he now appears to be joining with. And frankly, when I look at people like Bill Barr, I don't see a savior there. I see just another establishment figure. I hope I'm wrong. Time will tell. But understand, it's these very institutions who have always been anti-liberty, anti-constitution. From their inception, they have been. The reason we have the FISA court, which was abused, which was turned into a weapon of political persecution. The very reason we have the FISA court is because in the early 1970s, only a decade or two after these institutions were created, that already become predatory against Americans. And so you had the church committee hearing. You had the Pike committee hearing. And they said the NSA and the CIA are arrogant. They're violating the law. They're violating the Constitution. We need to have something to keep them under control. Now, we don't want to get rid of them because we have foreign enemies, and so we want foreign intelligence, but we got to tell them this isn't going to be done domestically. So they created the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act and the FISA court. And then those things became weapons to use against the American public. And you had the people who were at the highest level of our intelligence community lie under oath to the American people and to Congress and get away with it. People like James Clapper. Now he's lying on CNN and MSNBC. Liars are always going to lie, aren't they? And look at what's going on in the House. The CIA written bill that is now that goes by the title the Intelligence Authorization Act. Senate bill and a House bill, both places. It will now criminalize whistleblowers and reporting. If you have any question, as I've been saying, if you have any question as to the source of the deplatforming, depersoning fatwas that are being done on social media against Alex Jones, InfoWars, and many others now, we were the first. But if you have any question as to where this is coming from, this bill should clear it up for you, President Trump, conservatives, libertarians, anybody who doesn't seem to understand. And again, it's amazing. Reason Magazine just constantly pushes back against this, pushing back against Tulsi Gabbard. We'll talk about that coming up. But buried in this bill, Section 733, is a statement here, the sense of Congress on WikiLeaks. And in this bill that will criminalize all reporting and whistleblowing about the criminal actions of the intelligence community that have been going on since its inception, right after World War II. It is the sense of Congress that WikiLeaks and the senior leadership of WikiLeaks resemble a non-state hostile intelligence service, often abetted by state actors, and should be treated as such a service by the United States. So in other words, we reserve for ourselves a right to lie to you about everything and to spy on you in every detail of your life. And anybody who tells you the truth, we are going to lock them away forever. That is what your elected representatives are doing right now. And who is pushing it the most? Adam Schiff, Adam Schiff. This is why I say President Trump doesn't understand that the very people who tried to get him impeached, or still trying to get him impeached, these people who conspired against him with all this phony intelligence, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, foreign intelligence services, all working together, you know, because they're all part of this Five Eyes group. These people are the ones who are pushing this censorship. These people are the ones who are working with Google and the other big tech billionaires to bully people, to take over the internet. Adam Schiff, as Demand Progress points out, Adam Schiff is once again putting the interests of the intelligence agencies in concealing their misdeeds ahead of protecting the rights of ordinary citizens by criminalizing routine reporting by the press on national security issues. The same Adam Schiff that is trying to make a criminal out of President Trump is trying to make a criminal out of anybody who tells the truth about these corrupt intelligence agencies. Schiff's expansion of the Intelligence Identities Protection Act beyond all reason will effectively muzzle reporting on torture, muzzle reporting on mass surveillance, muzzle reporting on other crimes against the American people, all at the request of the CIA. Adam Schiff is clearly the resistance to the resistance, and he should drop this provision from his bill. As Ron Paul put it, the measure is designed, in the CIA's own words, to prevent the kind of transparency that was provided by WikiLeaks. This is a war on the free press. It is a war on free speech. It is a war on your liberty by the people who have tried to take President Trump out. Yes, it is suicidal for President Trump to ally himself with the very people who tried and are still trying to criminalize his election, who are trying to overthrow our election, who have created structures working with, not just with Google, Microsoft's NewsGuard to control the news that you hear, to label anybody that is not a mockingbird puppet, any news organization that is not going to be a PR firm for the lying CIA and NSA, anybody that is not their PR firm, will be labeled as false with NewsGuard. And even more disturbing, DARPA funding Microsoft and a Microsoft shell corporation to do Election Guard. They are going to become the operating system for the election. If it's not enough for them to manipulate the information that you hear, if it's not enough for them to take down Tulsi Gabbard when she is spiking after the first debate for 6 hours, to completely shut her down, that's one way to interfere with the election. The other way is to actually change the vote counts. You don't think that's what Election Guard is about? If President Trump doesn't do something about this, it's not just suicide for President Trump. It is suicide for America. That is suicide. America is done if we don't get control of these internet control devices. Folks, we got to take a break. Take a look at InfoWarsStore.com. I'll just remind you, we've got many specials there. We got 50%, up to 50% off of storable food. We have 40% off the Alexa Pure Gravity Feed water filtration system. We have 50% off DNA Force Plus. Big, big dollar savings on the sales that are there on some very vital elements that you should have to protect your freedom and your family. You want to have access to food and clean water? Well, right now you can get that 40 to 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Crump, I'm sitting here watching these Lillipullies eat you alive and carve you up like a giant ham. And damn it, I care about you, and my fate's tied to you, and I'm pissed, buddy. If you keep sitting there and taking this crap, I'm not going to put up with it anymore. Because it doesn't matter how good your agenda is and how many other great things you do. If you sit there and let these out-of-control criminals walk in here and steal our First Amendment and steal this damn election, then I don't know what I'm going to be forced to do. But let me tell you, watching you let these bastards pull this off makes me sick. And so I'm begging my listeners and my viewers to light a fire under everybody in your administration's ass. to stand up for the First Amendment and to move out of the way of your second term after this whole Russiagate got proven as a fraud so we can try to restore this republic against the globalists. They're trying to shut it down.
That's Alex Jones. And again, that was the President Trump is about to commit suicide. And folks, it is far worse than that. He's going to kill America as we know it if he doesn't do something on his watch. This is all happening on his watch. The border has collapsed, but far worse than that. He talks about trying to do something with that. And again, he's being gaslighted by judges who assert their judicial superiority over everything that the executive branch does. Now, that is wrong, and he needs to understand that that is wrong. They have now given him a little bit longer leash to do something at the border. But President Trump has to do something to protect our rights. And if he doesn't do that, America is finished. It doesn't matter what happens with this next election, one way or the other. If President Trump is not going to defend our rights of free speech and free press, America's done. Take a look at what's going on with Fox News, for example. I think President Trump thinks he can win this election based on his own Twitter account alone and what is going on at Fox News. But is Fox News going to be there for him? A Fox News poll, again, coming out, saying 47% of Americans back Trump impeachment. How could that be? How could that be? We have pointed out, and you look at that implosion of Mueller at the congressional hearings last week, both in the House and the Senate. An absolute implosion. People, Politico, Michael Moore, only the most diehard, self-deceived Hollywood liberals think that he made any kind of progress on that. And you still have these people like Adam Schiff who want to completely eradicate a free press that are still pushing against President Trump. And it appears to be working because President Trump has, you know, Twitter. He's got Fox News maybe. Well, Fox News is saying 47% of Americans want President Trump impeached. According to the survey, 45% of July respondents support President Trump's removal. They said that's down from 50% in June. I don't know. Maybe President Trump can win it, even if he doesn't have a free and independent press. And it's not just the free and independent press. It's also all of his supporters like you who are gagged. And we're not allowed to talk about things that I believe are far more important than who occupies the White House. That would be things like our fundamental rights, our 10th Amendment rights, taking back power at the local level, talking about issues like abortion, talking about issues like mandatory vaccines. I find those to be far more important than who the occupant of the White House is, if the occupant of the White House isn't going to do something about those issues. We need to be able to talk about those things. And if we can't talk about those things, even under President Trump, what do you think is going to happen when the Democrats get control? If we don't establish the preeminence of the First Amendment, if we don't reestablish checks and balances in our government at the federal level and checks and balances between the federal government and the local and state governments, if we don't have that established, things are going to go really bad once President Trump is gone. And he isn't going to be there forever, even if he gets elected again. That's only another 4 years. Is he going to be able to reestablish the Constitution? Does he even have the will to do that? We'll talk about this more when we come back. We'll talk about what Fox News, Chris Wallace, how he took on Mick Mulvaney, calling President Trump, guess what, a racist. He sounded just like CNN. He sounded like Anderson Cooper, Wallace did.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I played for you at the top of the hour a little bit of Alex Jones appealing to President Trump and to Trump supporters, saying we've got to stop him from this passivity because he is effectively committing suicide, but he's also killing America by doing nothing as our free speech is taken over. President Trump, do you think that Fox News and Twitter are going to help you win the election? You know, Twitter could take you off at any point in time. We've already had federal judges say that you can't ban anybody off of your personal account that you had before you became president. I mean, we're not talking about the POTUS account. You've already had federal judges tell you that you can't ban anybody who is trolling you on your account. You can't block them. But the CEO of Twitter can. CEO of Twitter can block anyone, including you. The CEO of Twitter has more power than you do, President Trump. So he conceivably could block you at a key point in time because you're just too hateful, he would say. That standard is being used against everybody for everything. Can't talk about vaccines. Can't talk about being pro-life. You don't have any pro-life every time I talk about abortion issues. There are no trending hashtags of any sort about pro-life. That has been purged off of Twitter. And they will cap you or completely take you off if you talk about vaccines, mandatory vaccines, any health concerns about vaccines. If you push back against the military-industrial complex, if you push back against the intelligence community that is rigging us into one war after the other, if you push back against the big pharmaceutical industry, oh, that's where you get taken off for that kind of stuff. And then, of course, President Trump's ace in the hole is Fox News, right? Well, just take a look at what Fox News's Chris Wallace did. He came across race-baiting President Trump over this Baltimore comment, coming off sounding like Brian Stelter at CNN. That's how Chris Wallace at Fox News sounded. He comes in, he says, this seems to be the worst kind of racial stereotyping. He said, black congressman, majority black district. I mean, no human being would want to live there. Is he saying people who live in Baltimore are new, not human beings? And he was talking to Mick Mulvaney, who is the White House chief of staff. Mick Mulvaney came back and tried to explain this to Chris Wallace of Fox News. He said, well, when the president attacks AOC, plus three, when he attacks the squad last week, he gets accused of being a racist. And yet when Nancy Pelosi does it a few days later, the left and many members of the media come to Nancy's defense. It couldn't possibly be racist. Even when they, the squad, accuse Nancy Pelosi of being racist. You know, I think you've got it in for women of color, they said. Racist and sexist. And then, you know, oh, that's okay. No, no. Nancy Pelosi's not racist or sexist, and these people are not falsely accusing her of racism at all. No, no, no. Nothing to see here. Move on. President Trump talks about the infestation of Democrat policies and how it has turned Baltimore into a crime-infested, rat-infested place. Again, you can't talk about these policies. You can't talk about what a horrible job Elijah Cummings is doing. Because if you do, that's racist. Because as Chris Wallace came back, he said, you say it has little to do with race, he says to Mick Mulvaney. There is a clear pattern here. The fact is, before his inauguration, the president tweeted about John Lewis, a black congressman. This is before his inauguration. He said he should spend time in his crime-infested district. Then 2 weeks ago, he goes after these four members of the squad, all women of color, says Chris Wallace. And he says they should go back to their crime-infested countries. Then he talks about Elijah Cummings. And he says his district is rat and rodent infested. Infested. It sounds like vermin, says Chris Wallace. It sounds subhuman. And these are all six members of Congress, people of color. This is Wallace of Fox pushing this white privilege, intersectionality, and social justice on us. And let me just say to you, I remember when we had the Bundy standoff. Clive and Bundy, he doesn't hang out on television. So he doesn't embrace the latest style sheets of the Associated Press in the way that he speaks of people. And so at one point in time, somebody talked to him about race relations. I don't even remember the context of how they got into it. And he said something about colored people. And boy, that was it. Cliven Bundy was racist. He was a white supremacist for saying colored people. You know, we still have the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Now, colored people was an acceptable term in the 50s or 60s. But it's not anymore. If you say colored people, you are racist, right? You have to say people of color. Let me ask you, do you understand this game that they're playing with language? Colored people is racist, but people of color is acceptable. Are you kidding me? Fox News, Chris Wallace. Like I said earlier, we got these liberals going around to universities getting paid $10,000 to $15,000 to lecture us about white privilege and white fragility. Yeah, we need to have somebody go around and lecture about white elitism. I volunteer for that. You want to pay me $10,000 to $15,000? I'll come to your university and I'll lecture you about white elitism. I'll lecture you about how colored people is racist, but people of color is now the preferred term. This is how they use language as a weapon. You will now use our term or we will vilify you. We will make you a poster child for white supremacy and for racism if you put the cart before the horse or vice versa. If you say colored people instead of people of color, you are now a white supremacist. This is the way they control us. This arbitrary use of language. There's absolutely no difference between colored people and people of color, except who is going to control you by controlling your speech. And you got Chris Wallace at Fox News doing this. And President Trump thinks he can win this election because Jack Dorsey and Chris Wallace are on his side. Well, good for you, President Trump. Maybe you can win the election. And America loses free speech. That's not a bargain I'm willing to take. And if we have to do something, I just cannot support a president who doesn't support my fundamental rights of free speech. I just can't. I refuse. But then Chris Wallace goes on, as he's accused by Mick Mulvaney, who says, oh, well, I think you're spending way too much time reading between the lines. And then Wallace doubles down. I'm not reading between the lines. I'm reading the lines. Continually pushing that racist label, pushing it very hard with Mick Mulvaney. Again, you know, invoking the privilege of people of color. Don't criticize people of color and don't call them colored people. Marianne Williamson comes out sounding just like Chris Wallace of Fox News. Trump is beyond racism, she said. He is a serious sociopathic demagogue. Now, this is coming from a woman who has made tens of millions of dollars on the Oprah circuit pushing self-help occultism and crystal reading. Seriously, this is what the Democrats have? You know, we look at this case of the Covington teens who were bullied, not only by an individual, but bullied by the Washington Post. A $250 million defamation suit has now been tossed by a judge. Well, okay, you know, the judge says, look, you know, what they did is protected by the First Amendment. Okay. But what about questioning the government's official story about Sandy Hook? Oh, no, that's not. Oh, no. See, we have different rules for different people. First Amendment only applies to the Washington Post. We'll be right back. Stay with us. As Alex Jones cut the report yesterday, you can see it again on InfoWars.com. Why is President Trump committing suicide? Stop, children. And why is he killing our First Amendment? By inaction, is what I would add as a subtitle. Alex Jones calling on President Trump's supporters to encourage him to take action because not only is his reelection at stake, and we know that even if President Trump is passive in this and the loss of our free speech rights, that the Democrats will be very active in taking it. So we'll just be accelerating it. Perhaps that would be enough to get people to actually do something. That's my concern about all this, is that if we are lulled into passivity by thinking, oh, it's okay. President Trump knows exactly what he's doing. He's playing 4D chess. And even though he hasn't done a single thing to protect our free speech and liberty from the people who are stealing it from us, he's got it under control. I'm not of that persuasion. Not at all. I think he's got other things that he's more interested in. I mean, certainly as president, there's too much on his plate. It's too much for any one person to do, and he's not been served well by his subordinates. They have put people in at every level who oppose President Trump, whether he's doing that to try to make concessions to his enemies, or whether he wants to keep his enemies closer than his friends, or whether he doesn't even know who these people are. It doesn't really matter, because on issue after issue, they have delayed, stalled, and pushed him in the wrong direction. Whether it is the situation going on in Iran or the budgetless idea that they've just passed with in a bipartisan measure. Let's say we just won't have any budget for the next 2 years. How about that? We won't even have to worry about it. We'll just pretend that it's not there. Just put out the credit card. But when we look at Chris Hughes, who is a friend of Mark Zuckerberg, one of the co-founders of Facebook, he's essentially doing what Alex Jones did. You know, Chris Hughes came out and said, I knew that I'd lose some friends, but I have to speak out about this. And folks, it is time for the Sunshine Patriots to go their own way. We got to take a clear-eyed look at what is really happening here and do an objective assessment of this and get serious before it's too late. The censorship is getting more pervasive and more arbitrary every day. Just take a look, as I pointed out on Friday. Got a documentary that's been up for 2 years. Jeff Bezos says, I don't like it. Take it off. The arrogance of these people. Oh, it doesn't meet my standards or whatever. And we're going to get into what happened with Tulsi Gabbard and the lawsuit that she's filed. And then the way that the libertarians have pushed back against this. The people, I say libertarians, I mean people, the Libertarian Party, Reason Magazine, Cato Institute, think tanks, and so forth, pushing back against this. But let's take a look at what Chris Hughes says. He says he still thinks that Mark Zuckerberg is, quote, a good moral person. but he thinks as chairman and CEO of Facebook, Zuckerberg has too much power. Well, let me just say, again, I am not of that persuasion. You've got Mark Zuckerberg, who seems to be obsessed with Caesar Augustus. Even all that thumbs up and thumbs down, I'm not the first person to point that out. You had The Economist in the UK show him sitting on a throne dressed as a Roman emperor with his thumb up or thumb down. And that's exactly what he's been doing. Giving the thumbs down to certain issues or political parties or individuals that he doesn't like. Deplatforming news organizations, not just InfoWars. More than 800 independent news organizations are purged off of social media 2 months after we were, and it's continuing. It is continuing, President Trump. And, yeah, giving them the thumbs down like Caesar Augustus. He wants to have a worldwide currency. He is holding out as a carrot to the governments the fact that he knows each and every one of you better than any bank ever could, because a key part of our banking system has been the know-your-customer aspect of it. Using the banks as a rudimentary, crude form of surveillance, but now he has refined it to the nth degree. And if only you allow him, with his new cryptocurrency, Libra, he can, as he pointed out in his white paper, he can create a global ID, and he can tell the governments everything they want to know about each and every one of you, and he's more than willing to do that. He will de-platform news organizations. He will de-person individuals off of his social media platforms. And then he will put out a fatwa saying you can say anything negative you want to say about this person that I hate. And, oh, by the way, that includes threats of violence and death. That's fine. That's fine with Mark Zuckerberg. So a good moral person, not in my book. I think Lord Acton was right. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and I can see the absolute corruption at Facebook and Instagram. It doesn't take much to look at that. You know, President Trump is not always going to be in power. One day, if President Trump, even if he gets reelected, at some point in time, he and his family are not going to be in power. And they will be subject to a lawless criminal government if that's what he leaves in the wake of his presidency. That doesn't pay any attention to due process. That has a double standard for people that they don't like. And again, you want to talk about committing suicide? Perhaps the only thing that President Trump cares about is his family. His family is not going to be safe from the likes of Adam Schiff and Nadler and the intelligence community. They'll come after his family. He better be very careful about setting back in place the protections that we had and leading this country, not just being passive, not just throwing out inflammatory remarks on Twitter, but actually doing something and leading from a position of principle. I understand that's a lot to ask, but that's actually what leadership is about. As Chris Hughes pointed out, he said, Facebook's wealth and power and massive user base have pushed it into monopoly territory, and its acquisition of rivals has squashed competition. More than 2.7 billion people use Facebook or other platforms that it owns, including Instagram and the messaging service WhatsApp, at least once a month. He said, I think there's a lot to be concerned about here, especially because, again, he wants to expand this into having a global currency and a global ID. That really is the vision of Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook. And then, as many people are talking about, Chris Hughes leading the opposition to Facebook just from a monopoly standpoint and having too much power concentrated in one place. Look, too much power is concentrated in Washington. That power has to be devolved from Washington if we really want to make America great again, if we really want to make America free. America will not be great if America is not free. If we have an all-powerful central government, America will not be great. America will not even survive. And we cannot allow these corporations, who are tools of the very intelligence community led by Adam Schiff, we cannot allow them to have that kind of power shared.
Without the freedom to offend, there is no free speech. It's the David Knight Show. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. You know, we look at the free speech issue. There's many different components to it. So far, we've only had, coming out of the Department of Justice or the Capitol Hill people, the only thing that they've really talked about is the antitrust aspect of this. Yes, monopolizing the economy, monopolizing the internet, that should be something that should be of concern to people, certainly. But that's only one aspect of it. There's also the rigging of elections. And then beyond that, there is the stealing of our God-given rights in the digital public square. And we look at the violence committed by Antifa to silence people. You know, this is something that the Democrats and the establishment cannot have you speaking out. They will not debate you. They will silence you. And if necessary, they will use government violence against you, or they'll use these surrogates, Antifa, encouraged by the left, supported by the media. Oh, these guys are heroes, we've been told. Even of the guy who violently attacked a ICE center, encouraged in that by AOC and the squad, and yet they took absolutely no heat for inciting violence from one of these crazy individuals. Took absolutely no heat for that. And so as we are told that these people have to shut down our speech, and they're entitled to do that, we now have these billionaire bullies who are effectively asserting ownership over the digital public square in the same way that Antifa is asserting ownership over Portland. These billionaire bullies are doing the same thing. And we've already had, as I pointed out many times, Marsh versus Alabama, 1946, even the Supreme Court said, even if the public square is privately owned, you can't shut down the public's free speech there in the public square. And they've had, in hearing after hearing, we've had the CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, has said at least 8 times that his business model is the public square. That's different. That's different from a guy who has a bakery shop. His business model is not the public square. And if you go into his business and you take a soap box and you stick it over in the corner and you start yelling at the top of your lungs whatever you want to say about religion or about politics or whatever, it is not Speaker's Corner at Hyde Park. That's not his business model. He would be perfectly within his rights to call the police and have them remove you. It is also not the business model of a mall to provide a forum for you to come in with your soapbox and stand there and scream. But that is exactly the business model of Facebook, of Twitter, of these social media accounts. They are the public square. They have admitted that, a digital public square. And they should be governed by the rules of the public square. And so we're going to talk about this back and forth debate. You got people at Reason Magazine very upset with Tulsi Gabbard for filing a $50 million lawsuit against Google. Let me read you the article by Tom Luongo on Zero Hedge. He's very happy, as I am, that she's going after Google. He points out that it's about time somebody did. He said, since Trump's election, the campaign to curtail free speech has gone into overdrive, and we are now far beyond Orwell's dystopian vision in 1984 in terms of technological infrastructure. Far beyond. Far worse. As a matter of fact, I'll just digress here for a second. Remember, it was in the fall of 2015 that Matt Drudge came here to InfoWars to talk to us and to talk to you publicly here at InfoWars. We put him on air. He said he'd been told by a Supreme Court justice that if Hillary Clinton won, they had a plan to shut down all free speech on the internet and on social media. Well, she didn't win. We made sure of that. But they went ahead with a plan. The plan is still being executed, and President Trump is not doing anything to stop it. It is a plan to destroy America by destroying everything this country was built on. This country was not built on open immigration. It was built on protecting our fundamental human rights, having a government that recognized what our human rights were and saw itself as the protector of those human rights. Anyway, Luongo goes on to say that Tulsi Gabbard's big crime is the fact that she is a committed anti-imperialist, and for that she has to be taken out. She's a perfect champion of the defenders of free speech and of those who criticize U.S. empire. And as I've said from the very beginning, if you want to see a common thread, it is not Trump supporters. It is not conservatives. This censorship that is happening, and we could see it 2 months after we were taken off. You can see the people that they chose to come after InfoWars, the people that they focused on, were people who, like us, had opposed false flag wars, who had opposed never-ending wars, who had opposed the military-industrial complex, people like us who had opposed the out-of-control police state, people like us who had opposed the tyranny of big pharmaceutical companies mandating things like vaccines, saying we don't care about your informed consent. If you oppose them on those structures, they will take you out. And that's exactly what they did 2 months after they took down InfoWars on social media. And about a month before the election of 2018, they took out 800 different sites. Some of them were liberal. Many of them were conservative, some of them were libertarian, but they had one thing in common, and that was that they pushed back against the surveillance state, the police state, the military-industrial complex. And we had in November of 2017, we had testimony from people who were part of that military-industrial complex after the billionaires, the high-tech billionaires had finished testifying and all the media had followed them to see what they were going to say next. Then you had the meat of the testimony. And that was people who were working with the intelligence community, people who were Pentagon consultants and high-ranking officials there with DARPA, coming in and saying, we have to silence the cannons on social media. We're losing the information war. And we've got to purge social media. We've got to get control of social media. And within 9 months, they did exactly that, using their tech allies at Apple, at Google, at Facebook, at Twitter. And so where does that leave us with Tulsi Gabbard? As Tom Longo points out, true third rail of U.S. politics is to oppose the empire, an absolute power. You want to oppose the police state, the surveillance state, and the military-industrial complex? They're going to take you out. These are the very people who have been funding Facebook. Facebook got a lot of money from the Atlantic Council, an organization tied to NATO. And now they're paying dividends back to the Atlantic Council. But they are doing exactly what the military-industrial complex wants, and that is censoring anybody that pushes back against their agenda. And Tom Longo goes on to say, any candidate publicly against the empire is the enemy not only of the state, but also of its quislings in the media, and of the corporations who profit from the state, and the party machines of both the establishment GOP and the DNC. For that crime, Google acted to blunt interest in Tulsi Gabbard's campaign in the critical hours after the first Democratic debate. You saw that on the Drudge Report. You saw how people were searching for Tulsi Gabbard about 5-1 more than the next highest candidate. Everybody was like, who is this person? Look at this. She's not only with us on stopping these endless foreign wars, but she's authentic about it. She's believable. And that back and forth exchange, that small amount of time that she had, and she became the number one search person. And so what did Google do? Well, according to the 2 points in her lawsuit, number one, they suspended her Google ad account for 6 hours while that search traffic for her was spiking. And number two, Gmail disproportionately junked her campaign emails. So as she's trending and as it is showing on the Drudge Report that she's trending and is showing on Google, they immediately shut her down, and now she is suing them. $50 million. We'll go into the details of that and the what and the why when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back. Yeah, there's many different aspects to what is happening with big tech. It is monopolistic, and these people want to monopolize not only news, but of course they want to be able to monopolize currency as well. That's the move that nobody is really talking about. It's pretty amazing. You got a couple of individuals talking about it. Surprisingly, Maxine Waters, because her husband is involved in the banking industry. So a few individuals in a few places see this as competition to the central banks, and they're not too happy about that. I'm not so sure that Facebook doesn't have the money to buy the politicians to make this happen, however. And they can certainly appease the police state by promising them a kind of know-your-customer that they can only fantasize about. And a global ID as well. So I still see that as a very, very real threat to our liberty. But of course, it is shutting down free speech of you and of I as individual citizens. Not going to be allowed to see and comment about things. You know, they're going to cover your eyes, they're going to cover your ears, and they're going to cover your mouth so that you don't see, hear, or speak any evil of establishment politicians. And then they're going to shut down all independent press, and they're well on the way to having accomplished that. And then they will rig the elections as well, if we let them, if President Trump stands by passively on all this. But let's take a look at how they're already rigging the elections. It's absolutely amazing to me that when you have a monopoly of corporate press that they've been able to run with this Russiagate conspiracy for 3 years now and still running with it, even after Mueller collapsed in a heap of dementia on the stand, not even having bothered to read his own report and unable to field the most basic questions about who he is, where he came from, who appointed him to office. I mean, this guy is incredibly just a figurehead. Didn't write the report, didn't even bother to read it. And yet, this is continuing on. Why? Because of the effective monopoly of the establishment media and the fact that they have shut down your voices so effectively on social media. And then there is the direct manipulation in the elections. You know, you talk about, oh, we got foreign involvement in elections, but they ignore how British intelligence allied with the CIA to try to overthrow our election, to try to overthrow President Trump. They ignore the fact that Facebook and Google are directly interfering in the election and then pretend that a few ads, a tiny little number of ads, $100,000 when Hillary Clinton alone spent billions of dollars, not to count all of the ancillary political action committees that were contributing money on her account. When you look at that tiny drop in the bucket of ads that were put out there by people they say were hostile and then pretend, oh, well, you know, this is being done by a state actor, so this is even more effective, even more dangerous. And yet the reality is that Google and Facebook are manipulating our elections directly, and they're doing it right now, and they did it in the 2018 elections, while much of the independent press was sidelined, while many of you were sidelined with shadow banning or with overt banning. And so as we look at Tulsi Gabbard, the fact that after the first debate, she was the person that everybody was interested in, as you could see that on Matt Drudge, because he didn't filter the results. He had his own poll, and even among conservatives, she was soaring. So it was necessary for Google to shut her down. For 6 hours, they suspended her Google ad account, and then they junked her campaign emails as well to try to stop her ability to speak to people. So as part of this complaint, she quotes Robert Epstein, a psychologist who clearly understands what this is all about. As I've said for a very long time, this is a tool of psychological control. The internet was envisioned as a tool of psychological control by J.C.R. Licklider at DARPA. And now DARPA is working with Microsoft to set up NewsGuard and to set up ElectionGuard to count the votes. But let's talk about what's happening right now in terms of manipulating public opinion. I want to let's play a little bit of a clip of what Dr. Robert Epstein had to say. Video clip number two.
Google's manipulation of votes gave at least 2.6 million additional votes to Hillary Clinton in the year 2016. Is that correct?
2.6 million is a rock bottom minimum. The range is between 2.6 and 10.4 million votes, depending on how aggressive they were in using the techniques that I've been studying. They control these, and no one can counteract them. These are not competitive. These are tools that they have at their disposal exclusively.
Your testimony is that Google is, through bias in search results, manipulating voters in a way they're not aware of.
On a massive scale, in 2020, if all these companies are supporting the same candidate, there are 15 million votes on the line that can be shifted without people's knowledge and without leaving a paper trail for authorities to trace. Without monitoring systems in place, we'll never know what these companies are doing. And in 2020, you can bet that all of these companies are going to go all out. And the methods that they're using are invisible. They're subliminal. They're more powerful than most any effects I've ever seen in the behavioral sciences, and I've been in the behavioral sciences for almost 40 years.
A handful of Silicon Valley billionaires and giant corporations are able to spend millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, collectively, massively influencing the results of elections.
Senator, with respect, I must correct you.
Please.
If Mark Zuckerberg chooses to send out a go vote reminder just to Democrats on Election Day, that doesn't cost him a dime.
Yeah. And we're not going to regulate that, right? If President Trump is going to stand down and not address the speech issue, not address the election issue, not address the economic issues here, monopoly, torturous interference, we're in very dangerous territory here, folks. And again, you heard Dr. Epstein talking to Ted Cruz. Remember how we were denounced as conspiracy theorists when we said, at least 3 million fraudulent votes and so forth. He's saying, look, and stuff that you can't even directly measure, a lower count would be 2.6 million, maybe as many as 10.4 million votes switched. When we come up to 2020, he's saying 15 million. It's kind of like when we said, hey, look, they can watch you on your monitor. Maybe you ought to put a piece of Post-it over there, right? Oh, look at that. You guys, tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists, you're so paranoid. You think everybody is watching you and listening to everything that you're doing. And it turns out, yeah, they are. Turns out you see pictures of Mark Zuckerberg, and he's got that Post-it over his computer just like Alex Jones does. Now we hear that contractors for Apple's Siri are hearing very confidential conversations between people, intimate conversations that they are now picking up. It's far worse than what we have said. We've been on the low side of where this tyranny is going. And so when we look at the Gabbard lawsuit and the legal complaint, I'll read you part of it here. She says, in addition to Google's overarching control over and restrictions on American political speech generally, just think about that. Why would we allow a major corporation to have restrictions on American political speech? Wasn't it the Democrat Party that was very concerned about Citizens United? Remember? They said, corporations can spend money on politicians. They said, you can't treat corporations like they're individuals. You can't let them make contributions and so forth in an election. And yet, these same Democrats, because these corporations are right now on their side, say, oh, yeah, we ought to let the corporations completely shut down the speech of other people and promote certain candidates. Us, for example. Boy, they changed pretty quickly, didn't they? Anyway, going back to Tulsi Gabbard's complaint. In addition to Google's overarching control over and restrictions on American political speech, Google has a unique and disturbing amount of influence over elections. In fact, through its search advertising and other monopolistic platforms, Google has almost total control over important aspects of election speech and election advertising. Google is willing to exploit that control, as can be seen in Google's targeting of Tulsi Gabbard, a political opponent of the company, through her own account. We'll have more of this when we come back, folks. It is going on right now. This is not talking about what might possibly happen. This is what has already happened. This is where we already are, and it's about to get far, far worse. And the Republicans and Trump are asleep at the wheel.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Tulsi Gabbard has filed a $50 million lawsuit against Google. I think that's a very small amount. I think she ought to go for more than that. But nevertheless, it's important that she file this lawsuit. As I pointed out, as she was trending after the first debate, they basically blocked her for 6 hours. Oh, yeah, nothing to see here. Just move along, right? Gabbard's account is not the first election advertising that Google has interfered with, goes her legal complaint as part of this $50 million lawsuit. She goes on to say, for example, in June 2018, Google announced that it would no longer sell political ads for local races in Washington state. Yet in reality, Google did continue to sell such ads, thousands of dollars worth, in fact, but only to certain campaigns. Oh, yeah, there you go. Google's alleged ban on ads for local races in Washington state was selectively enforced. That misconduct ultimately resulted and the Washington State Attorney General prosecuting Google. And Google settled the case, agreeing to pay $217,000 to resolve its liability. That is just a slap on the wrist. And it is an insult to America, to free elections, to free speech everywhere. How much longer is this kind of racketeering, influenced, and corrupt organization practices that are being conducted by these big Silicon Valley people? Basically, it's a mafia, folks. And they need to be looked at not only by the FEC, but also by the Department of Justice, and not just for monopolistic practices, but also for RICO practices. RICO practices. It's absolutely amazing to me what they're allowed to get away with. And yet, look at what Reason Magazine comes up with, attacking Tulsi Gabbard. The angle of Reason Magazine, again, pushed by people like the Koch brothers, by the Cato Institute, the so-called libertarian think tank funded by the Koch brothers, they say that Tulsi Gabbard's lawsuit is an attack on free speech. Can you believe that? The links that these people will go to? This is the problem that has always been incipient in the Libertarian Party. The idea, as they have moved away from the founding principles of this country, that government was set up to protect the God-given rights of individuals. See, we don't believe in God. You wind up falling for people like Ayn Rand, who thinks that, you know, greed is good and that, you know, she doesn't see that corporations can do anything wrong, even if those corporations are allied with the government. As I said many times, you know, people on the right, especially libertarians, they can see nothing wrong in any corporation. And they can see that the government does nothing right. People on the left are just the opposite, typically. They would say, well, corporations can do nothing right, and government is where we have to go to for everything. Now, it's kind of interesting how these positions have been switched around as you've got these giant corporations that the people on the left have always been concerned about with Citizens United, but now it's okay for Google to interfere in elections, to interfere in the Democrat Party primaries. Why? Because Google is now allied with the establishment political parties, and they're allied with the military-industrial complex and the intelligence community. And so you hear both the establishment Republicans and Democrats singing a different tune. Oh, it's fine. And it's not a problem when an evil government allies itself with an evil corporation. Somehow, those two negatives produce a positive to these people. Yeah, you know, when Ayn Rand is blind to fascism, I mean, she knew all about communism, but she didn't care about fascism. And neither do these people at Reason Magazine. Tulsi Gabbard, they said, took a cue from conservative conspiracists as she sued Google for $50 million. No, it's actually a conspiracy fact. A conspiracy fact that they shut her down for 6 hours. And we've already seen it. We've seen it with them labeling the Republican Party the Nazi Party in California just before the primary.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I've got one more thing to say about Tulsi Gabbard's lawsuit, and then I want to get into the tempest in the teapot that is, I guess we could call it tempest on Twitter, that has erupted with President Trump attacking Elijah Cummings. You can't do that. Elijah Cummings is a people of color. He's not colored. He is of color. And, you know, one of those is racist, and the other one is a term of endearment for people like Chris Wallace at Fox News. And if you don't understand how you're being played when the NAACP talks about advancing colored people, but if you say colored people, oh, you're a racist, you're a white supremacist, you got to use the term people of color, just like Chris Wallace did, as he continued to call President Trump a racist. No, it's Chris Wallace who is the racist. It's Chris Wallace and people like him in establishment media that are pushing this racism paradigm everywhere and using it to control political speech. But let's talk about the direct control of political speech before we get into the more oblique control through racism. Let's talk about how it's done through Google. Again, Tulsi Gabbard suing for $50 million after Google shut down ads for 6 hours after she was trending after the first debate. And you can see that on the Drudge Report. By far and away, everybody was looking for Tulsi Gabbard. The vast majority of people thought that she won that debate, and so she had to be shut down. And they did it. But Reason is very upset about this. They think that Tulsi Gabbard's lawsuit is an attack on free speech. Those poor, beleaguered billionaires in Silicon Valley, they won fair and square. They now own the internet, and they're on their way to owning everything in the world. And Reason wants you to shut up and get out of their way. And these Ayn Rand libertarians, these atheist libertarians who don't have any moral basis for any of this stuff, they just love corporations. Talking about how Tulsi Gabbard is taking a cue from a conservative conspiracist. Many people on the right have recently made social media companies public enemy number one. Well, why would that be? Why would that be? Is there any collusion that's going on when all of the major social media companies shut down Alex Jones and InfoWars within a 10-hour period? Oh, nothing to see here. Say the Koch brothers who have pushed the agenda that we opposed. Oh, they're happy with that outcome. So just let these people go. Yeah, they're happy with that. And the people that they fund at Reason Magazine and Cato Institute and the Libertarian Party are happy with that as well. That's why I call myself Libertarian. Liberty is what I'm about. I'm not about worshiping the Koch brothers. I'm not about worshiping open borders. As long as you've got, look, I'm all for people being able to go wherever they want, whenever they want. And I would think that the libertarians would be wise enough to realize that that's not going to work as long as you've got a welfare state. And of course, if they did a little bit of research, they would find that there really is a conspiracy out there by Cloward and Piven, Democrat economists, who said, hey, we can collapse the American economy, and then on its ruins, we can build our socialist utopia if we bring in enough people from abroad and put them on our welfare state, which is exactly what's happening right now. Oh, but then we would be conspiracy theorists if we thought that. Reason Magazine attacks Tulsi Gabbard, as they always do. Anybody who complains about the monopoly position of these robber barons in Silicon Valley, while the First Amendment, they say, certainly shields Gabbard and anyone else from government censorship or retaliation based on words alone, it does not mean that Google, Facebook, or Twitter cannot remove content. They are private companies. They're private companies whose business model is a public square. And even if the Supreme Court had not stumbled into the right decision in 1946 about a privately owned public square, I've seen this thing work out in debates 25, 30 years ago, as I pointed out, in North Carolina, and it happened all over the country. And they should know this if they really cared about having free speech and free elections and a public debate. Reason Magazine doesn't. They looked the other way when it was being done to us in North Carolina when we jumped through extra hoops to get independent and third-party candidates on the ballot. We got absolutely no attention from the Cato Institute and the Koch brothers-funded media when we were excluded from the debates simply because they used the dodge of saying, well, the debates are going to be run by a private company. We're going to have the state organization, the North Carolina Press Association, whatever it was at the time. But we're going to have that private organization, the Press Association, they're going to run the debates. And so as a private organization, they will decide that only the Democrats and Republicans can participate in any debates. And that's their prerogative because they're private. Now, how does that serve the public? How does that serve free speech and a free press, when the free press itself was the instrument of censorship, just as we've seen with Brian Stelter and Oliver Darcy and CNN shutting down independent media, just like the quote-unquote free press, the free corporate press, shut down political debates on a state-by-state basis, pretending that they were private organizations. This is a dodge, folks. They can do anything to anybody as long as they put it in the glove of private ownership. And right now, you've got DARPA funding a shell corporation along with Microsoft to control our news. They call it NewsGuard, and to control our elections, to come up with a operating system called Election Guard that will be the operating system for all the electronic voting machines. And Reason Magazine, the Koch brothers, say, well, that's fine. You know, it doesn't matter that DARPA gave $10 million to this little shell corporation to come up with Election Guard. That's just a private company, and they can do whatever they want, and so can Microsoft. And if they want to rig the elections, they're perfectly entitled to. If they want to rig the news with NewsGuard, they're entitled to. It doesn't matter that they were funded by DARPA, and it's being done right now. This isn't something that happened in 1999 with the CIA's venture capital firm, InQtel. This is going on right now. You hear anybody in Washington talking about this? No. Your President Trump even paying attention to NewsGuard and Election Guard? No. And then you've got Reason Magazine, the Koch brothers, coming after Tulsi Gabbard because she's pushing back against this. It's absolutely amazing to me. So President Trump puts out a tweet. There may or may not be national security concerns with regard to Google and their relationship with China. If there is a problem, we'll find out about it. I sincerely hope there is not. And so as a result of that, Apple and Google's stocks tumbled as a result of that tweet. Well, look, that's fine. I don't want to see Google helping China. But I got to say, is President Trump going to ignore the robber baron monopolies and their interference in elections? Is he going to ignore them stealing each and every one of our God-given rights to speech? You know, President Trump, you're not the only one that has a right to speak. I have a right to speak as an individual citizen. I have a right to speak as an analyst, as a journalist. I have a right to speak with a free press. And I see what's going on. You know, you can have these people at Reason Magazine try to pull the wool over our eyes, say, oh, it's a private organization. But seriously, you're going to let them take our God-given rights, steal our God-given rights of free speech and a free press? You're going to let them manipulate the elections? You're going to let them have a free reign to make obscene amounts of money so they can buy politicians and buy their way into having setting up a worldwide currency? And all you're worried about is national security? Are you kidding me? What is security worth when we have no liberty? That is always the Faustian bargain of fools. Oh yeah, let me give you my liberty so you keep me safe here. Let me tell you something. China is not as big a threat as Google is. They're a far bigger and more immediate threat to us. They're the ones who are going to be creating that smart city jail cell for you. They're going to be the ones who monitor and report to the government, your local government, everything that you're doing. They're going to be the ones to tax your every movement. They will pass that information on to the government. They'll be the ones to limit your ownership of a home, of a car, your ability to move, your ability to own a gun, your ability to speak. Baltimore is infested. Yes, and you know what they're infested by? Democrat policies and Democrat politicians. That's what the infestation is. As President Trump was tweeting about this, you have, look at the context again of what he is saying. In his tweet, he says, Representative Elijah Cummings has been a brutal bully, shouting and screaming at the great men and women of Border Patrol about conditions at the southern border, when actually his Baltimore district is far worse and far more dangerous. His district is considered the worst in the U.S. As proven last week during a congressional tour, the border is clean, efficient, well-run, just very crowded. Well, I'm not too happy about how we have now created a summer camp for people who want to relocate and go on welfare in America. That's another problem, President Trump, that you need to address. Cummings' district, he said, however, is a disgusting rat and rodent infested mess. If he spent more time in Baltimore, maybe he could help clean up this very dangerous and filthy place. So is that racist? Well, Chris Wallace says that it is. All the Democrat candidates running for president say that it is. And, of course, CNN says that it is. Let's take the Democrat candidates, first of all, 2020 candidates. Biden, once again, you proved yourself unfit to hold the office because he said something negative about Baltimore and Elijah Cummings. Of course, they can say anything. Criticizing the U.S. Border Patrol, that's fine. Making up stuff about them, demonizing them, inciting violence against Border Patrol and ICE because they don't want to have any border, they don't want to have any immigration laws, that's all fine. If they incite violent attacks, nobody complains about that. None of the mainstream media complain. Have you heard Chris Wallace at Fox News complaining about that? Saying it was wrong for AOC and the rest of the squad to incite an Antifa individual into violence? I don't recall seeing anything about that. Maybe they did. I missed it. I don't watch Fox 24/7 like President Trump does. So I don't know if they did or not. I don't think they did. I don't think they had a problem with it. I don't know that perhaps Tucker Carlson covered it, but I don't think anybody else covered a reporter from Rebel Media asking each and every one of them as they were on their way to a press conference to accuse President Trump of being racist. None of them would say anything about the individual that they had incited to violence. And, of course, nobody demanded that they disavow him. President Trump can disavow violent people. Says, yeah, of course I don't support that. Oh, no, you got to say it again and again and again. But these people don't have to say it once. Ilhan doesn't have to say it. Alexandria doesn't have to say it. None of them have to say it. So it's fine for Biden. You know, you can criticize the Border Patrol. You can say anything about them. You lie about them. It's like, meh, I don't care. But don't you criticize the guy who's slandering them. Kamala Harris said it was disgraceful. It was shameful, said Tim Ryan of Ohio. They're all searching for that soundbite condemnation of President Trump that's going to get them on the front page. And so then Cory Booker goes full Spartacus. He says, this is painful. This is moral defining moment in America. We must now answer. Silence is toxic complicity. Oh, there you go. Yeah, he's got a writer helping him out on that. He upped the ante on his soundbite. Beto O'Rourke. Trump has been the most openly racist president we've ever had in modern history. And on, you get the idea. David Axelrod, who was a Democrat strategist, now, of course, he works for CNN. If President Trump loses in 2020, this will be why. This will be why. And yet, if you actually go back and look at what has been said just last fall, September 2018, the woman of color who is the current mayor of Baltimore, yes, a woman of color, said in 2018, September 2018, she said as she was walking through parts of the place, what the heck? We should just take this exclamant down. Whoa, you can smell the rats. And then going on, a lot of profanities. You can smell the dead animals everywhere. So, yeah, she said in her own city, I smell the rats of dead animals. What's going on here? This place is horrible, she said. So I guess this mayor, a woman of color, is racist as well. And then, of course, we have many other organizations that are racist, starting with Orkin. Orkin, the pesticide people, they've got to be racist as well. Because they put Baltimore on their top 10 rattiest list. yeah, these people, they know a rat just like the mayor of Baltimore does. Yeah, roll that B-roll there of Orkin. You know, these are people you can trust. I mean, they do no pesticide there. And then there's the the Terminator pesticide. That's really what they need. And, you know, why can't they afford something like that? Some kind of a Terminator robot to get rid of these rats? Because, you know, they got a lot of money from the Obama administration. They got $1.8 billion. You think they'd at least be able to buy one RoboCop exterminator like you see in that Orkin commercial there for $1.8 billion in stimulus? Where did it go? What's going on in Baltimore? Yeah, see, the problem is it's not the rats with four legs. It's the demo rats, the Democrat politicians and their policies and the corruption. That money goes in, but they can't hire anybody at Orkin to do anything about it. Now, here's somebody else that's racist. The PBS is just as racist as President Trump. PBS aired a documentary, and they called it Rat Film. Rat Film is about Baltimore. Now, how racist is that? You know, you throw the dead rat over the fence, and the people who holler, this is back in February of 2018. So we got the mayor of Baltimore in September 2018 saying, this place stinks. I got dead animals everywhere, got rats everywhere. What's going on here? Swearing up one side and down the other as she's walking along, a woman of color. Then you have PBS, of all people, in February, earlier than that, February 2018, aired a documentary called Rat Film. And here's the description that PBS had. Across walls, fences, and alleys, rats not only expose our boundaries of separation, but they make homes in them. Rat Film is a feature-length documentary that uses the rat, as well as the humans that love them, live with them, and kill them, to explore the history of, wait for it, Baltimore, Elijah Cummings' home district. There's never been a rat problem in Baltimore. It's always been a people problem, said PBS. Oh, wait a minute. They are criticizing the people more than they are the rats. It's not the rats' fault. This PBS documentary probably kind of took, you know, a Ratatouille type of Pixar's Ratatouille. Took that kind of approach to it, I guess. You know, the rats are just fine. It's those Democrats who are the problem. Rat Film, a documentary, takes the decades-long fight waged against Baltimore's rat population and uses it as a lens through which to look at how the city has addressed myriad social problems over the decades. And it airs tonight on PBS. But you see, the problem is that for pointing all that out, Orkin was never called racist. The woman of color who's the mayor was never called racist. PBS was never called racist. The people who produced the documentary about how legendary the rats in Baltimore are, they were not racist, but President Trump is, according to Fox News, Chris Wallace, and CNN, and everybody else. Because, you know, that's the weapon that they use, racism. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Defending the American dream. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As I pointed out, Orkin, PBS, documentary films all say that Baltimore is rat-infested. As a matter of fact, if we go back to 2016, it gets even worse. As we continue to go, this is a problem that has been around for years. It has been a legendary problem. The Baltimore Sun, paper of record there, had an op-ed piece in 2016 right after President Trump was elected president and said, you know, President Trump is right. Let's declare Baltimore a disaster and rebuild it. Donald Trump, they said, known for his hyperbole, but not all of his ideas are a stretch. Our inner cities are a disaster, and they should be officially declared so. So this is the Baltimore paper talking about this right after President Trump got elected. Declaring our most beleaguered neighborhoods to be disaster zones and encouraging entrepreneurial activities through access to capital and microloans would inject capital, expedite much-needed infrastructure, and give our inner cities hope again. Well, you know, that's something that you might think that not even President Trump, but maybe their own congressional representative would be interested in that. Instead, he's more interested in playing partisan politics in Washington. A Baltimore resident was interviewed by Kimberly Klasick. She is a woman of color reporter, and she talked to another woman of color, and they both agreed with the mayor, also a woman of color, that Cummings isn't really doing anything and that the place is filthy and crime infested as well. Kimberly Klasick said, it's so sad to see Victor Blackwell and CNN turn the light currently shining on West Baltimore into a race issue. This could result in a positive change. So in other words, taking the same attitude that the Baltimore Sun, it's like, hey, let's admit that we got a problem, so maybe we could fix it here, right? No. Let's just use it to score points in a partisan battle and throw the racism card around. She goes on to say, Representative Cummings could help to get his district in order. He could listen to one of his constituents explain the rats and rodents problem. And so she interviewed a black resident named Michelle, who said, what President Trump said was definitely true. Cummings hasn't done anything for us. He's worried more about caring for illegal aliens at the border than his own people. Right? Right? How many times have we said that? That should be a central point of President Trump's reelection campaign. Go to California, go to Baltimore and say, why are the foreign citizens who are criminally trespassing here, why are they getting more assistance than you are? Why do they get preference on admission into college? Why do they get in-state tuition rates in places where you can't go? Why is it that they get a better deal than you do? Yeah. She goes on to say, Trump is not racist. I'm glad that he put Cummings on blast. The rats just didn't come. These houses just didn't get torn down. They've been like this for quite some time. And as a matter of fact, also in 2000, well, go back a little bit before 2016. We keep going back further because this problem's been around a very long time. Bernie Sanders is one of the 2020 candidates who decided that he would attack President Trump based on this. You know, let's jump into this echo chamber of racist, racist, racist that Chris Wallace was a part of on Fox News. Bernie Sanders jumped into that as well. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. The President Trump attacks American cities, he says, right? Except that in 2015, Bernie Sanders said the same thing, perhaps worse. He compared Cummings' West Baltimore district to a third world country. Oh, you mean like where Ilhan Omar came from? Go back to the third world country. Anyone who took the walk that we took around this neighborhood would not think you're in a wealthy nation, said Bernie Sanders in April 2015. You would think that you were in a third world country. And then he even tweeted out later on in May 5th, 2016, a year later, residents of Baltimore's poorest boroughs have lifespans that are shorter than people living under dictatorship in North Korea. That is a disgrace, said Bernie Sanders. But if President Trump says it, it's racist. Bernie Sanders can say it. PBS can say it. The Baltimore Sun can say it. The people living there can say it. The mayor, who is a Democrat woman of color, they can all say it. But if President Trump says it, it's racist. And you can count on that. President Trump, however, doubled and tripled and quadrupled down on this. He continued. He took him back on Twitter. If racist Elijah Cummings would focus more of his energy on helping the good people of his district and Baltimore itself, perhaps progress could be made in fixing the mess that he's helped to create over many years of incompetent leadership. His radical oversight, quote unquote, is a joke. There is nothing racist, said President Trump, in stating plainly what most people already know, that Elijah Cummings has done a terrible job for the people of his district and of Baltimore itself. Democrats always play the race card when they're unable to win with facts. Shame on them. Someone please explain to Nancy Pelosi, who was recently called racist by those of her own party, that there's nothing wrong with bringing out the very obvious fact that Congressman Elijah Cummings has done a very poor job for his district and the city of Baltimore, and on and on. Bottom line is, you look at not just the rats, but look at the homicide there. The homicide. 2016 report from the Baltimore Sun showed 344 homicides for the year 2015. In 2017, the USA Today said that the homicide rate was 56 per 100,000 people. The homicide rate, for comparison, in Chicago was less than half of that, 24 per 100,000 people. But don't complain about that either. I guess the only question is, are they going to count the rats in the census? And is Google going to be the Pied Piper to make sure they get out to the polls in order to vote? It won't be any hanging chads. They'll gnaw them right off, I guess. Won't have any paper elections, though, either. And then they're starting to get the idea everywhere. You know, it's not just in Baltimore that people realize how these Democrat politicians have failed them. In South Carolina, the black leaders there have ditched Joe Biden. Why? They said he hadn't done nothing. He's done nothing, nothing at all. Neglect, they said. Well, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. They have promised just become dependent on the Democrat Party and we'll give you everything for free. And folks, they're not going to be able to deliver free health care to you, regardless of what color your skin is. They're not going to be able to deliver free college of any value to you. Everything that they promise, all these socialist promises that they're making to everybody, is just a bunch of empty promises. They are not. There's no way that these people can deliver on these promises. We're going to talk in the next segment about counterfeits. You know, there's a major counterfeit ring that's been exposed and putting out $2 million in counterfeit currency. But I'm going to put this in perspective with the counterfeit bill that was passed by the Democrats, by the Republicans, and by President Trump. $2 million of counterfeit bills, that ain't nothing compared to what's on its way. Folks, if you want to support us here at InfoWars, we've got a special on some big discounts on some very important products. If you don't have storable food for emergencies, if you don't have clean water, you are leaving yourself and your family in a very vulnerable position. And so right now, we have all of our storable foods up to 50% off. We have our Gravity Feed Alexa Pure Pro water filtration system up to 40% off. Those are big, big dollar savings on some very vital things that you should have to support yourself and to support your family. When you look at storable food, that storable food is non-GMO. It's made in America. It's got the best packaging you're going to find anywhere. It is storable for up to 25 years. Even after you open it, you can reseal it for a short period of time. We also have DNA Force Plus, 50% off. That is a massive dollar savings. Take a look at the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. Also, don't forget to follow this program on Twitter, Libertarian. Also on YouTube, you can find us, Libertarian. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. I said I was going to talk about counterfeiting, so let's talk about counterfeiting. We have the Secret Service warning us that about $2 million has been injected into the Denver metropolitan area. $2 million in counterfeit bills. Fake 10s, fake 20s, fake 100s. I said, despite all the security features and the anti-counterfeiting technology that's gone into printing U.S. currency, it's still easier to get your hands on fake money now than ever before. And of course, you look at this and you say, well, maybe what they're trying to do is push for removing cash, right? Oh, yeah, we got to get rid of cash. We got to go to electronic currency because cash is too easily counterfeited. Well, maybe that is why they're doing this. Maybe somebody is, maybe this is some individual entrepreneurs out there just want to get rich by passing $2 million worth of fake currency around. But there's something else that happened last week that didn't get all that much press. You know, it's pretty sensational when you get $2 million worth of counterfeit bills injected into a city. But imagine if it was, let's say, $2 billion worth and not $2 million. So that's 1,000 times more. Let's imagine that that same amount of money that's being injected into Denver in counterfeit currencies. Let's imagine that instead of it being $2 million, let's say it was 1,000 times greater, and so you had it injected into 1,000 U.S. cities. Ooh, oh, that'd be, like 20 cities in each of the 50 states would have $2 million injected into their economy. Oh, you'd be kind of worried about that, wouldn't you? That'd be pretty amazing. And yet $2 billion is really just a drop in the bucket for the federal spending that's going on, right? Remember when President Trump wanted $2, $4 billion to build a wall and they shut the government down for a period of time over that? Oh, can't do that. No, you can't add a tiny fraction of 1% to our spending. Not for that. No, no, not going to allow that at all. But just take a look at what happened last week. We had the Democrat and Republican leadership Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and I can't even remember the guy on the Republican side, McCarthy from California. They all agreed, and so did President Trump, that they're just going to kick the can down the road and they're going to inject another nearly $2 trillion worth of debt into the economy. And so I got to ask you, how is that different? Well, it's different in magnitude. So let's talk about that. We got $2 million actually being injected in terms of counterfeit currency into one city. If it was $2 billion, that would be the equivalent. Let's just keep it $2 million per city so we can kind of get a handle on this. This is one of these deals. It's just a thought exercise, right? You know, like the typically they'll talk, you know, your intestines are so long that you could eat a steak and cheese in Philly. And if your intestines were stretched, straight out, you could take a dump in Baltimore. Maybe that's how Baltimore got the way that it is. But let's just do this thought exercise, okay? $2 million injected into Denver. Let's imagine, again, that we did that in 1,000 cities. And let's just equally distribute it over the United States. So we say, you know, in all 50 states, 20 different cities had $2 million injected into each of them. That would only be $2 billion. When you get to $2 trillion, that's another 1,000 times that. Oh, so let's imagine that you injected $2 million into 20,000 cities per state. Per state. Can you even come up with 20,000 cities in some of the states that we've got? I don't think so. I don't know there's 20,000 cities in Montana. And I'm praising Montana when I say that. I don't think I would want to live in a state that had 20,000. I'd probably live in probably 20,000 cities here in Texas. Texas is pretty big. And some of those cities would have to be really, really small. Think about that. Injecting $2 million into Lizard Lake, Texas, or Lizard Lake, North Carolina. $2 million of counterfeit currency into this little tiny town. Lizard Lake is where they have the hollering contest every year. People would be hollering about that. It'd be money all over they'd be paving the street with counterfeit 20s, 50s, and 100s. And yet, folks, that is what your federal government has done. That's why some of us are not willing to give President Trump and the Republicans a pass on this. I expect the Democrats to do this type of thing. I thought better of President Trump and the Republicans. But what they have gone on is a massive counterfeit spree and kicking the can down the road for another couple of years. You've got a lot of people in Washington who are now sounding the alarm about cryptocurrency. This is going to threaten our sovereignty, they say. It's going to threaten the petrodollar and the reserve status of the American dollar if crypto gets into place. Well, you know, the problem is not so much crypto. People turn to crypto because you have counterfeited our dollar. You have destroyed what we store our labor in. And that is absolutely reprehensible. You know, we went back and the first time I ever got in any trouble, the only time I ever got in any trouble with Google, they didn't give me a strike. They didn't shut me down. But they did shut down a video that I did about the creation of the Federal Reserve. Because it was done at Christmas time. Because it had some of the same tactics that you see in It's a Wonderful Life, you know, where the banker orchestrates a run on his competitor bank. You know, that's the type of stuff that J.P. Morgan did so that he could create the creature of Jekyll Island, as Joe Griffin says. Those same types of tricks. So I talked about it in that context. You know, Christmas time, the banker, Potter, who's trying to manipulate everything. It was a clear reference to J.P. Morgan and how he got the Federal Reserve put into place. So when I put that up, even though the entire movie of It's a Wonderful Life had been up for years, it had gotten a million views, they took my short commentary, which was done with fair use. I'd play a little bit of the clip. I would talk over it. I would then interject other stuff in to broaden that out to show what people were saying about the Federal Reserve when it was created, how it was going to be used. Google took that down. Every time it got up to 12,000 views, and then somebody else would put it up, they'd take it down when it got to 12,000. That's as close as I ever had to run in with them before they just completely shut down my YouTube channel last August, without any notification, and never would give me an explanation. A complaint has been received. Your channel has been terminated. Why? silence. Not going to say it. Not going to say. And so when we look at this, when we look at what the banks are doing to us, when we look at what the military-industrial complex is doing to us, when we look at what Google and Facebook and Twitter are doing to us to control our elections, to control our free speech, oh, no, we're not supposed to say anything about it. We're supposed to just go along. And so they can add another $2 trillion worth of debt, and there's nothing to see here. And again, think of it as injecting $2 million of counterfeit currency into 20,000 cities in every one of the 50 states. It starts to get you an idea of the magnitude of this counterfeit operation that we're running here. In the little bit of time that we've got, there was a story that was up on the Drudge Report for several days about unlimited hair. Now, this is something that I could definitely support. I'm starting to run low on hair, and I could definitely use some more. And yet, I was struck by the hypocrisy of this article from The Atlantic, talking about something as frivolous as hair. And I've said this when we talked about taking down people's ability to use their own stem cells to heal their body, not to cover up the symptoms like pharmaceuticals do, but to actually heal your body. And they actually talk about stem cells. They say, look, you know, you can use these drugs like Propecia and Rogaine and so forth, but it's really not going to do anything. It's just going to delay it at best. But you could actually get hair if you use stem cells. And I said this when the FDA took the unprecedented move of saying that you cannot use your own stem cells to heal your own body, to treat it. Yes, once you take those stem cells out and you twirl them around in a centrifuge, the FDA claims that you have created a drug that is now under their control. And let me tell you, it's not about that. It's about protecting the profits of the big pharmaceutical companies. Perhaps that's one of the reasons why Chris Wallace and the people at Fox News have turned on President Trump. He put those regulations out there, his Health and Human Services Department did, saying you're going to have to fess up to how much money you're going to be charging people. Some of these popular drugs are advertised all the time on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC. $16,000 a month, and they want that included in the commercial. I'm sure that Fox News doesn't want that included in the commercial. But when you look at this, I guess, you know, if they're going to ban stem cells, I'd have banned them for hair transplant type stuff. And then the only person who will be allowed to do hair transplants will be people like Joe Biden. Because, you know, hey, he takes out his hair follicles and he puts them in. But that's not a drug. That's not a drug. Why is that not a drug? All right, that's it for the broadcast. Thanks for listening.